This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God teaches us in His Word that He is all-powerful. He can do anything. And He also teaches that He loves everyone unconditionally. But that fact leads many people to ask questions. For example, if God is all-powerful and if He loves everyone, then why doesn't He rescue us from all the bad things that happen in this world? If God is all-powerful and if He loves us, why doesn't He put an end to evil right now? The reason that people are tempted to ask us questions regarding God, assuming that somehow God is in the wrong for not behaving as they think He ought to behave, the reason people ask those kind of questions is that they either don't know the whole story of the Bible, or if they do know the whole story of the Bible, they ignore it or reject it. So, very, very briefly put, what is the whole story? Well, even though God loves everyone unconditionally, we also know that God is holy and just. In other words, God must punish evil. In fact, that's what a lot of people wish God would do. They want God to punish evil. People today talk like this: hey, if there is a God, and if He is all-powerful, and if He really loves us like He say He does, then why doesn't He punish and destroy all evil right now, once and for all? However, when people ask that question, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't realize what they're saying. When people want God to destroy all evil right now, once and for all, what they fail to realize is if God were to punish and destroy all evil right now, once and for all, then God would then have to punish and destroy us right now, once and for all. You see, God's Word teaches that He created this universe and all life. In addition, God created the humans, known as Adam and Eve, in His image. And that means all humans were intended to live in a love relationship with God for all eternity. Of all living creatures, humans are unique in that we were made in the image of God. But all that changed, as you know, when a rebellious angel known as the devil or Satan tempted the first humans, Adam and Eve, to reject God and to decide for themselves what is good and what is evil. And sadly, they believed the lie, and the rest is our tragic history. That's right, we are descendants of Adam and Eve, and we have inherited their sinful nature. That's why we often affirm what God condemns and condemn what God affirms. Simply put, we are God's evil enemies by nature. Therefore, once again, if God were to punish and destroy all evil right now, once and for all, then He would have to punish and destroy us right now, once and for all. But the good news is that God doesn't want to give us what we deserve. God loves us unconditionally, and therefore God developed a plan to rescue us from the just punishment that we deserve. As you know, the center of God's plan to rescue us is His Son. His Son who came into the world to take our sin and rebellion upon Himself and then suffer in our place of judgment that we might have the opportunity to be forgiven and live in God's love forever as He intended in the beginning. Now, with all that said, after I've given you that very brief summary of the whole story, let's examine our reading from the Old Testament minor prophet, Zephaniah. The prophet Zephaniah preached between 640 BC and 609 BC. Now, at this point in history, the northern kingdom of Israel had already been destroyed by the Assyrian armies, and God stood by and allowed it to happen. Does that surprise you? The Almighty God who created the world just stood by while the armies of Assyria wiped out the northern kingdom of Israel. Why did God just stand by and allow it to happen? because northern Israel didn't think they needed to be saved. Allow me to explain. As you know from previous sermons in the Minor Prophets, God had sent various prophets to northern Israel, warning them that their greatest enemy was not the Assyrian Empire. You know, many people today, we think our greatest enemy is Islam or some other foe. Well, back then they thought their greatest enemy was the Assyrian Empire. Wrong, God says. Your greatest enemy is your own rebellion against me. The prophets warned northern Israel that God longed to forgive them, but he could not forgive them as long as they did not want to be forgiven. In other words, as long as they arrogantly embraced their sin and refused to repent of it, they were thereby rejecting God's mercy and placing themselves under his wrath. Now, as I said, God had warned northern Israel that even though he was patient, he would not endure their rebellious unbelief forever. God warned them that unless they repented of their sin, unless they cried to God for mercy, he would eventually remove his protection and allow the Assyrian armies to wipe them out. And that's just what happened to northern Israel in 722 BC. But even when God allowed that horrible event to happen, it was only in the hope that as they were being physically wiped out, they would hopefully repent and seek the Lord in mercy before it was too late. Just like the thief on the cross was saved at the very end before it was too late. But now when we get to the book of Zephaniah, it's 100 years later. And Zephaniah is preaching to the southern kingdom of Judah. Now at the time Zephaniah wrote his book, the southern kingdom was ruled by Josiah. And if you remember your Bible history, Josiah was a godly king. He had led the southern kingdom to repent. So under King Josiah, things were going okay. They were seeking the Lord. However, God knew that Josiah would soon die, and the kings that would replace him would be ungodly. They would lead God's people away from him. So God is using Zephaniah to be proactive. That's right. God is giving his people plenty of warning in advance so that when these ungodly kings lead them away from the Lord, they will repent instead of embracing the false teaching of their ungodly kings. Zephaniah warns the people in the southern kingdom that the same Lord who is mighty to save is also mighty to punish and destroy. And unless they repent and receive God's salvation, they will eventually suffer the same fate as northern Israel. In fact, remember these words of God from Zephaniah? He said, "At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad." Sound familiar? Those words describe the sinful tendency that we have to live as we please while ignoring God and not taking his warnings seriously. Whenever we start to get comfortable and complacent with sin that God says is evil, whenever we start thinking, "Hey, I'll live as I want, whatever, God won't do anything, either good or bad," when we get to that point, we're in a very, very dangerous spiritual situation. But God doesn't want that to be our fate. That's why Zephaniah writes, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger." Here we see that if we agree with God that our sin deserves his wrath, if we humble ourselves before the Lord and beg for his mercy, He will forgive us. He will save us. But sadly, in spite of all the proactive warning God gave them through Zephaniah, many of the people in southern Judah still refused to believe the words of God spoken by Zephaniah and the other prophets. As a result, God eventually removed his protection from southern Judah, and he allowed the Babylonian armies to destroy Jerusalem and take many of God's people into exile. But my friends, as horrible as that event was for the people of the southern kingdom, God was actually doing that because he loved them. God was using that punishment to humble them in the hope that they would repent and be saved. And you know what? It worked for some of them. How many of you have ever read the book of Daniel? If you haven't, time to start reading the Bible. If you read the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel takes place during that period when God's people had been exiled to Babylon. And what's amazing is that prior to the exile, you have people who are rejecting God, mocking his words, living as they pleased, worshiping idols. But look at how God transforms them through that whole punishment. Once they get to Babylon and realize how foolish they were, God changes their hearts through that whole experience. Read the book of Daniel. That's where we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would rather be thrown into a fiery furnace than bow down and worship an idol. That's where we read about Daniel, who would rather be thrown into a den of lions than be told he couldn't pray to the one true God. What a difference. What a difference God made in his people when he finally broke them and then lifted them up by his grace. So, yes, God eventually had to punish Judah. But even though they had lost their earthly home, even though they were now exiles in a foreign land, they could still cry to God and receive his forgiveness as well as his promise that they would one day have an eternal home with him in his new creation. My friends, even though Zephaniah wrote his book about 2,600 years ago, his message is still very relevant for our lives today here in America. You see, the devil is also constantly tempting us to ignore or reject the Lord and live as we please. The devil wants us to foolishly think that God will do nothing, even though we ignore his word and do what we want. The devil wants us to think that we're not in danger of damnation, even though we're living in rebellion against God. So, God uses the words of the prophet Zephaniah to remind us that our sins are serious, and they deserve God's wrath. But he also says to the same prophet that there is forgiveness, and there is hope even in the face of death for those who repent and seek the Lord in humble faith. The prophet Zephaniah ends his book with these words of comfort for us who are convicted of our sins and who long for God's forgiveness and salvation from death and hell. Zephaniah ends his book with these comforting words. Listen. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, when we hear those words, we're tempted to think that, boy, if we just trust in God, nothing bad will ever happen to us in this life. We have TV preachers making millions of dollars because they're telling people, hey, you just trust in Jesus, you'll have your best life now. Implying that you'll have health, wealth, and prosperity. But that's not what God is teaching us here. What he's teaching us here is that even though we may endure suffering, trial, and tragedy in this life, even though we all have to eventually face death, God has taken away our punishment. Remember those words from the end of our reading from Zephaniah? The Lord has taken away your punishment. Some people hear that and say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, if that's true, then why do I have so many problems in this life? Why do I have trials and tragedies? Why did my loved one die? Or why am I about to die because of some issue going on with my body? Well, you see, that's the problem. We tend to think that the worst punishment is the stuff we're dealing with in this life. Remember, the people in the northern kingdom thought that their worst enemy was the Assyrian armies. They didn't realize that their worst enemy was their own sin against God. So when God says that in Jesus He has taken away our punishment, He doesn't mean that this life will now be a bed of roses. What He means is that God has delivered us from the greatest punishment from which there is no return. He has delivered us from hell itself. God has taken our punishment away, but He put it on Jesus. That's how we are saved. When it says that the Lord is mighty to save, it doesn't mean that He'll never, ever, ever let anything bad happen to us in this life. What it means is that the Lord is mighty to save us from sin, death, and hell. And the Almighty God saved us by humbling Himself and going to a cross. In fact, my friends, that is the proof of how much God loves you. You see, whenever we do face suffering and trial in this life, that's when the devil wants us to think that God doesn't love us. The devil says, gosh, God's letting you go through this, He mustn't love you. But that's a lie. All you have to do is remember what Jesus, God's own Son, was willing to do for you. Think about it. The Lord is mighty. He could have wiped out His enemies with one word. And yet, the Almighty Son of God, who stilled the winds and the waves with one word, the Almighty Son of God allowed people to nail Him to a cross. Why? Because that's how much He loved you. Jesus could have saved Himself easily, but He didn't. He didn't save Himself because He loves you that much. Jesus suffered God's wrath in your place so that you might receive His mercy and live in His kingdom forever. And so, my friends, God uses His word to humble us and convict us of sin, but He does that only because He wants to lift us up by His grace. God uses His word to convince us that we are in danger of the fires of hell, but He does that only that we might repent and run into His arms of mercy, love, and life, the arms that are mighty to save us from hell. My friends, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how long you have rebelled against God. You can humble yourself before Him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what He will do? He will forgive you and He will rescue you because of His Son's death and resurrection for you. That's right, my friends. The Lord is mighty to save. I'm not talking about saving us from our trivial problems in this life. I'm talking about the Lord being mighty to save us from damnation and hell. And He has done that. Not only does God often protect you from physical evil and harm in this life, but even more, the Lord is mighty to save you from sin, death, and hell. Therefore, no matter what you face in this life, whether it be suffering or trial or even death itself, the Lord who died for you and conquered death for you is mighty to save you. Just think of it. Because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you can look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come, and not even death can keep you from that hope. That's why Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were willing to be thrown into a fiery furnace rather than bow down to an idol. That's why Daniel was willing to be thrown into a den of lions rather than refuse to pray to his God. They knew that they had hope in Jesus, and nothing could take that from them. You have the same hope. So fear not, and remember these words from the end of Zephaniah. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.